this high-tech equipment, and I don't know all about this stuff. I was raised on a farm in Western North Carolina. Yeah, I started recording. I got a red light. Red means stop. That's right. He might be trying to tell me something. I was just raised on a farm in North Carolina, and I don't know a whole lot about this high-tech stuff like that. I had to ask him, would that MP3 player CD play in my van? He said it wouldn't, so I didn't know. But anyhow, turn in your Bibles tonight, if you would, to Acts chapter 27. You might also want to stick your finger in Psalms chapter 107. You pray for my voice tonight. I feel like I strained it a little bit on Wednesday night, then it got a little worse last night. I might be using one of these microphones tomorrow night. I don't know. But the Lord's able to help us, and He knows what we need. It's not in the power of my voice anyway. That's not what's going to get the job done. I realize that, but it's going to take the power of the Spirit of God to work in our hearts. And I hope that the Lord will help you tonight through this message. I won't say it's good. I haven't said this much this week, but it's good to have some of our folks back from my home, my church, where I pastor. It's the Lord's church, but the church where I try to pastor. I appreciate them coming over here. They don't come over here to hear me preach. They come over here. They told me this. They come to hear me to make sure I'm as rough on you as I am on them. That's what they told me. Now, can you believe that? Anyhow, I appreciate them coming over and being with us tonight. I figured, I'm kind of like Brother Brian, I figured this Clinton crowd would be with my Union crowd watching the Red Devils play the Yellow Jackets tonight. I didn't know, but anyhow, I appreciate you being here tonight, and I thank God for you. Appreciate your faithfulness. I really have enjoyed the nights of this week and got to know some of you pastors and some of you folks, and I appreciate that. My wife asked me a few minutes ago. She said, did you know that brother before this meeting? I said, no. She said, well, you act like you've known him all your life. I said, well, that's the way it ought to be. Some people just like that. I believe that's the way God's people ought to be. There's a kindred spirit amongst God's people. I like to hear Brother Milton Taylor. He's one of my heroes. I thank God for Brother Taylor. And Brother Taylor makes a statement oftentimes when he's praying. He'll say, Father, there's no Father like you. And he'll say, there's no people like your people. And I guarantee you that's right. There's no people like God's people. Amen. And I appreciate the people of God. Let's bow our heads if we could and go to the Lord in a word of prayer and ask for His help tonight. You pray for us as we pray. Father, we thank You now for the privilege to stand before this congregation. I thank You, Lord, for their faithfulness, Lord, to support this meeting this week. And I thank You for their prayers for me. Lord, You know as well as I do, God, that I need it. And I pray You'd help me tonight, that You'd touch my voice. And, Lord, that You'd just help me to have clarity of thought and of speech. And, Lord, that You'd just let it hold out as You'd see fit. I just pray You'd move and bless in this service, not that I'm leaning upon my flesh. Lord, not leaning upon this message, but I lean upon You tonight. And I just pray You'd help me. God, You'd fill me with Your Spirit. And Lord, that You'd help Your people through me. And Lord, we'll be careful to thank You and praise You for what You do now, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Acts chapter 27, I want to begin reading in verse number 14. Acts 27. I don't know if I told you what chapter. I hear a bunch of you turning. I must not have. Acts chapter 27. I want to start reading in verse number 14. Now, we're reading the story about Paul and his traveling to Rome. And the Bible, they're on a ship now, and the Bible says, but not long after there arose against it, talking about the ship, a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon, or some say Euroclydon, I don't know. Euroclydon sounds right to me. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, straight sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sir, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Now, I'll stop reading there. We've sung tonight, and I always find this interesting. A lot of times the singing goes along with the message. A little while ago, one of the groups that were up singing talked about, so let the storms rage high and the dark clouds rise and that sort of thing, for they won't worry me. Then a few minutes ago, we sang the song, till the storm passes by. And tonight I'd like to preach a message on the thought, what to do when we face the storms of life. The Bible says here that there was a tempestuous wind that was raised up. That's like a whirlwind. That's like a hurricane, a cyclone on the sea. Euroclydon means a violent agitation, a wind raising mighty waves. You realize that the word storm means a disruption in the normal flow of the atmosphere. You realize also that we're going to have some disruptions in our life. There's going to be things that come our way that are going to disrupt the normal flow of our life. There's going to be storms that come our way. Now, I want to give you the foundation of this message in my own life. God gave me this message when I was in the midst of a personal storm. In February 9th, 2004, our church caught fire and burned. The night before, we'd had a baptismal service, and the next morning, early in the morning, I got a phone call. There's smoke coming out from under the eaves of the church. So I made my way down there, and the fire had just gutted the inside of the church. Well, I knew God had brought us through storms before, and I believe He'd take care of us again and bring us through the storms again. So shortly after this fire took place, we moved over into our fellowship hall. We had just remodeled it and cleaned out. We had classrooms downstairs. We had removed all the walls, and God had provided us a place to meet even before the storm took place. And what a blessing that was. But after this fire took place, we thought, well, we're going to get with the insurance company. We're going to settle this thing. We're going to either repair our building or we're going to tear it down and build another one 6 months to a year. We're going to be back ready to go, trying to get with it, serving God and that sort of thing. Well, it was already by June or July, about 5 to 6 months after the fire took place. We were at the same point we were when it all started. We're still wrestling with the insurance company. We're meeting with contractors and engineers and all kinds of things. It seems that nothing was going like it should have went, and we're just having such problems. We were at right at point zero. There was nothing that had been accomplished in all that time, as far as I could see. Well, after this, during this period of time, I guess around the month of June or July, early July, I had such a load on me. I just felt like the weight of the world was on me, and I didn't know what to do with it. I'd lay awake in bed at night. You know, you've all been in situations like that. Seemed like I couldn't sleep. And then I'd go off to sleep and I'd wake up in the middle of the night. I'd be soaking wet with sweat. And my children were getting up in the middle of the night with nightmares. And they never had any problems with nightmares. And I'm not trying to make you think I went off the deep end. But I mean, even strange things were happening around the house. You realize we are in a warfare today.
Right.
My children waking up with nightmares, I believe it wasn't anything but the attack of satanic forces on my home and my family. I was carrying these burdens in this battle, and I told one of my trustees one day, I said, I really believe God is going to break me for some reason. I was to the point where I felt like God was going to break me. I don't know why He needed to break me, but I was to the place where I felt like I was just going to break down. I didn't know what else I was going to do. Have you ever been to your wit's end? A lot of times probably you have. But when I saw the truth of this message, God lifted me above the storm. When I realized what was happening, I was like Peter and I cried out, I said, Lord, save me. And it seems that just at that time when God gave me this message and I saw the truth of it, it seems that God raised me like He did Peter and let me walk above the storm. You see, the storm on the outside wasn't over, but the storm on the inside was over. And when the storm on the inside is gone, you can handle the storms that come on the outside. I'd like to see this story as an illustration here of what to do when we face the storms of life. And can I say, you may not need this message tonight, but if you live for God very long, if you live very long, you will need it. What did these individuals do in this storm? Look at verse 15. This is what I'd like to key around tonight. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. Now this is not going to be a profound message. This is not going to be, I don't think, deep theological stuff tonight, but this is just practical, simple things that I really feel like will help you as it did me to walk above the circumstances and the storms that come your way. What did these individuals do in the storm? The Bible just said, Luke writing the book of Acts said, we just let her drive. Well, what does it mean to let her drive? It doesn't mean they let their wife at the wheel of the ship. The word let means to give up the power or will of one to give over. It means to hand over. The word drive means to carry some burden, to bear up, to uphold, to keep from falling. And Luke is including himself in this when he said, we let her drive. You know what I believe they did? They handed the burden over to the ship. Do you realize today the old ships weathered the storm before too? What he was saying was, we let the ship have it. They didn't jump ship. They didn't leave the ship. There's a lot that's doing that today. They get in the midst of a storm. Just stay with me a few minutes. They get in the midst of a storm and they want to jump ship. They want to just leave the ship. This church gets into a storm, they want to go to some other church where there is no storm. I'll tell you, go over there, there'll be one before long.
That's right.
But what did they do? They didn't leave the ship. They didn't jump the ship. They just let the ship bear the burden of the storm. They took their hands, if you will, off of the wheel. And I believe when you and I are facing the storms of life, one of the best things that we can do, or probably the best thing we can do, is to take our hands off of the wheel and tie the keel straight. You don't want it to be going around in circles in the midst of the storm. But what you're doing is you're laying it over into the hands of God. You're trusting God with the outcome of what you're experiencing. What does it mean to let her drive? It means to take your hands off of it. Now let me ask you a question. Why did they just let her drive? Why did they do that? Why would anybody, why could I stand to you today and say, when you're in the midst of the storm, just let her drive? Well, I'll tell you, number one, because it was out of their control anyway. Look at verse 15. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. The word caught means to seize by force and carry away. It means to catch or lay hold of one so that he is no longer his own master. The ship had been caught and the ship was no longer its own master. But there was a power, there was a force that was beyond the power of this ship or beyond the power of those upon this ship to do anything with it. Now listen, Jesus is the master of the church. And he's the master of our lives. And should he send a storm our way, the best thing we can do is just take our hands off of it.
Amen.
You know what the storm does? It allows God to take his proper place. The storm got me to the place where I realized I had no controls. Up to this point in time, I had been worrying and working and fretting and laboring and that sort of thing. But the Bible said they could not. The word could here means it's the word dunamai. It's the root word. It's the same as dunamos. Where the gospel is the power of God and the salvation. It's that same word. What they were saying was we didn't have any power. We didn't have any power to do anything. The word bear up means to, or the phrase bear up means to look against or straight at. It means to withstand, to bear up against or to work against. They couldn't even turn the ship into the wind. And so what did they do? They just let her drive. You know what we try to do? We try to hold on as long as we can.
You're right.
Now, I want you to get this tonight. I tell you, this is not deep, but I believe this will help you. I found myself a hold of the steering wheel of a ship, if you will, and the winds are kicking and bucking and the storm is rocking the ship back and forth. And friend, I just barely could hold on, and the only thing I was doing was wearing myself out. I had no control. I couldn't make the insurance company settle. I couldn't get the engineers to say what I thought they ought to say. I couldn't do anything, friend. It was totally out of my control. And when I saw, hey, when they got out of control, what they did was just let her drive. Boy, that takes a big burden off of you.
Amen.
We want to fight and hold on as long as we can, but it is a vain struggle when things are out of your control. You realize in this life there are some burdens that we can share. He said, bear you one another's burdens. And then there's some burdens that we can shoulder. Every man bear his own burden. And then there's some burdens we can shed. He said, cast your care on him, for he careth for you. And that's what I'm trying to talk about tonight. Quit trying to fight and steer and just let God have his way through this. You know, sometimes pastors, we'll go through a storm in our church and we'll struggle to hold on to some folks, and it might just be that God wants to take them out of the way so he can do some great things in the midst. But we'll struggle and wear ourselves out trying to hold on to these people. You know, sometimes in our personal lives, there'll be some circumstances and we'll try our best. We'll get hold of that thing, and I mean, we'll wrestle and we'll sweat and wear ourselves out. We'll get to where we're just no good for anything. We're totally consumed because we've got our hands on it. We're trying to force our will upon the storm, and we struggle around this wave and around that wave. But I want you to know this, to fight against the storm is to fight against God.
Right.
Say, I'm not so sure about that. I believe I can prove it to you. Turn over, if you will, in the book of Psalms, chapter 107, just for a minute. If the fight against the storm is to fight against God, then the fight against the storm is a losing battle.
Right.
How can I make such a profound statement that to say to struggle against the storm is to struggle against God? Psalm 107 in verse 23. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. Now let me ask you a question. Who did the psalmist say raises the stormy wind? Who? God raises the stormy wind. God is the one that causes these winds when they begin to blow against our ship and raise up mighty waves. He said the waves get so high they mount up to the heaven and then we plunge back down to the depths. He said these are tremendous waves, but the Bible says He's the one that commandeth them and raiseth up the stormy wind. Well, listen then, if we fight against that which He has raised up, if we struggle against that and try to lay our hands on it and control it, I'll tell you what we're doing. We're trying to impose our will on the storm. And you're fighting a losing battle. You know what we're supposed to do? Humbly submit ourselves to what God in His sovereignty, don't let that word scare you. If He's not sovereign, we're all in trouble. He's still on the throne today. He's still in control of all things. He controls the stormy wind. He commands it. He raises it. And friend, when they begin to blow against us, we can humbly submit ourselves and say, Lord, Thou knowest best. You know better than I do, God. I'm submitting myself to this storm. I'm taking my hands off of it. If you want me to go 6 more months fighting the insurance company, if you want me to go another year or two meeting in a fellowship hall, parking in the grass and mud everywhere from the tearing down and the stuff of our old building, God, if that's what you want me to do, I submit myself to it. I just let her drive.
Amen.
I was mentally wore out, physically wore out, spiritually wore out, and only thing I was doing was trying to impose my will on the storm that God had raised up in my life. My lifeguard training, I used to train lifeguards. And when we would train lifeguards and lifeguards would teach swim classes and that sort of thing, we'd always teach people, look, if you're out swimming in a pond or something and your foot gets wrapped up in some weeds, or if you're in the ocean and seaweed gets wrapped around your leg, don't kick against it. Don't struggle against it because it'll bind you tighter. What do? You just submit to it and gently move in it and it'll let go of you. But our tendency is when something gets hold of us like that, it's to struggle and to fight and to work, and we're fighting a losing battle. In fact, what we're doing is making the storm worse.
Right.
I'll tell you why they just let her drive. Because it was out of their control anyway.
That's right.
Amen. There was nothing they could do. The second thing I want you to see is why did they let her drive? Verse number 20. Let's go back to Acts. Keep your finger in Psalms. We'll be back. Lord willing. Verse 20, Acts 27. And when neither the sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Now let me ask you one question. How did they navigate in those days? By the stars and the sun. But it had been many days since they saw the stars or the sun. What does that tell you? They didn't even know which way to go. They didn't even know where they were. How in the world can you steer a ship, even if you had control of the storm, how can you effectively steer a ship when you don't even know which way to go? Why did they just let her drive? Because they couldn't do anything else. It was out of their hands. It was out of their control. And beyond that, they didn't even know which way to go, even if they did have some control. Have you ever been there?
Yes, sir.
When I was in the midst of that storm, I felt like we ought to do this, felt like we ought to do that. And I just finally got to the place where I thought, dear God, I don't know which way to go. I'll tell you why you ought to just let her drive, because you can't control the storms anyway. Because God is the one that raises the stormy wind, and you can trust Him with it. Because even if you did have control, you don't know which way to go anyway in the storm. It's too dark to be able to navigate in the midst of a storm. You know what? We don't know the outcome of some storms. We don't always know where God's taking us or what He's doing, but I tell you this, He knows.
Amen.
We don't know where we are. When we get in a dark storm, they didn't even know where they were. This wind had blown them for many days. I'll tell you, if you take a ship and let the wind blow on it, it can travel hundreds of miles in days. They didn't know where they were. They didn't know which way. And so they just let her drive. Well, that sounds like somebody in the Bible, Job. Job 23, he said, "Behold, I go forward, but he's not there. And backward, but I can't perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take."
Amen.
Job said, "I don't know which way is what. I don't know which way God is. I don't know which way to turn. I don't know what's going on." But he said, "God does."
Amen.
I don't know about you, but that helps me.
Amen.
In those kind of times, I'll tell you what it's good to do. Just let her drive.
Amen.
What did they do while they let her drive? Now, at no point in this message have I said there is nothing for you to do when the storm comes your way. I did not say there was nothing for you to do. I just said quit struggling against it. I said just quit trying to control it. Let God have His work in it. The point is, don't try to do what's out of your power to do, but do what you can. And look what they did, verse 16. "And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps." Now listen to this. First of all, we'll give you three little S's if you don't mind a little alliteration. They secured what they had. They ran up under this island, that verse says. And listen, that means under the lee of the island, under the sheltered side of the island. Listen, thank God for those small breaks in the midst of the storm, that we get just a little breath in the midst of a storm. But here's what that text tells me. There was a smaller boat that was apparently out in the water and was banging around against the boat with this wind and these waves. Look what it says again. When the ship was caught, verse 16, "running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat." Now that's not the word ship, that's the word boat. I don't think he's talking about the ship they were on. I think he's talking about the lifeboat that they let down later on in the chapter. And here's why I think that. "Which when they had taken up," I believe what they did was pull this lifeboat, this small boat, up so it wouldn't be beaten against the ship. And it was a job, apparently, to do that. They were bringing it up so it wouldn't bang against the ship. You know what they were doing? They were securing what they could. They gathered it in and secured it. Listen, they were minimizing loss. You get in the midst of a storm, you can't control the ship. You might as well take your hands off of it. Let God have His will and way in it. But I'll tell you this, you better secure what you can. You better nail down, strap down anything that's loose and banging around, because it'll do more damage than the storm does. My father-in-law tells a story when he was in the Navy that I'm reminded of tonight. He said one night they were in the midst of a storm. I think he was on an aircraft carrier. I mean, he said that thing was pitching one way and the other. He said it was going so far down that the sea was coming over the deck, and somebody had, there's apparently some kind of big tanks, bottles of some kind. I don't know if they were propane bottle or whatever, big, tall, heavy things, he said. And somebody had left one of them unlatched on the side of the ship there, and it had fell out and it was loose on the deck, and every time that thing would go one way, it'd bang into the cabin or whatever, and it'd go back the other way, it'd hit the rails. And one of the captains said, "You got to go out there and get that thing. It's going to knock a hole. That water's going to be in here with us." He said he undogged the hatch when it went one way. He said he got outside to hear it come again. Said he shut the hatch and dogged it back down and held on to the hatch until it got over, and then got back over there. Said he run over and grabbed it, and said just about the time he got it, said the ship tipped back over. He said he had his back up against the rail of the ship with holding on to that bottle. He said the water come all the way up under his chin before it started pitching back the other direction. He said if he hadn't had that heavy bottle, said he'd have been out in the ocean. He said that when it made it back up and the water cleared, said he got that thing over there and put it back in, strapped it down, then got over back to the hatch and held on to it through the next series. Then he got back inside. The point I'm trying to say is this: when you're in the midst of the storm, you better secure what you can, because it'll knock a hole in your ship if you're not careful. It'll do more damage than the storm does. Amen. The storm's not the danger. It's those loose items that we got to take care of. I don't have time to deal with all that. They secured what they could. Number two, they shored up the ship. Verse 17. They used, which when they had taken up, I think they're talking about the boat, they used helps undergirding the ship. They say, from what I've studied, they ran long ropes around the ship to help hold it together as it was pummeled by the waves. Now listen, preaching the Word of God will help shore up a ship in the midst of the storm, help shore up the church, but also your study and your reading the Word of God will undergird you in the midst of a storm.
Amen.
Reading and meditating upon the book will help you hold together in the midst of the storm. You'll find sustenance there. You'll find encouragement, nourishment there, and encouragement. You'll find hope and help. And friend, you need to shore the ship up as best you can.
Amen.
Number three, I find the Bible says they straight sail in the last part of verse 17. And fearing lest they should fall into quicksands, straight sail, and so were driven. That, look that word up, and that means they lowered the sail. You know what that tells me? They slowed the ship down. You know what? When you get in a storm and you just have to take your hands off of it and let God have His will and way, let the storm drive you where it wants to drive you, where He wants to drive you, I'm going to tell you this, if you're not careful, you'll make hasty decisions that'll get you in trouble. So they fearing they should run into these sands or sandbars or reefs or whatever it was, fearing they should do that, it seems that they dropped the sail and slowed the ship down. Listen, you don't want to make hasty decisions in a storm. You'll make bad decisions. So they straight sail. And the devil, he'll love to get you to shipwreck in the middle of a storm. And that's what the devil will do. He'll get you all worked up in a frenzy and you'll make a bad decision if you're not careful. Take all the precautions you can, but they still were driven, that verse says. Number four, they shed the dead weight, verse 18 and 19. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest the next day, they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. They shed the dead weight. It seems to me that the storm may be getting progressively worse. You know what the Bible tells us? To lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. One of the best times to get rid of dead weights in the middle of a storm. Get rid of those weights that does so easily beset us, because I've seen people go down in a storm holding on to their sin. But if you'll let that sin go, and man, you get your heart right with God, it'll help, man, it'll lighten the ship. It'll help her fall a little higher on those waves.
Amen.
They'll bog you down if you're not careful. I also thought about this. Well, they was throwing everything overboard. But you know what a storm does? It makes things lose their value. Boy, we hold on to a lot of material things in this world, a lot of weight. But you get in a storm just right, and it won't make any difference about all that stuff. I've got two people right now. I told you about Bob last night. Told me to shake my fist at you. Don't take that offensively. If you knew him, you'd understand. Told you about Bob. Bob's got cancer. He's unless the Lord intervenes, he's not got long to live. Today I found out one of my church members got leukemia. If he takes no treatment, he may live 3 months. If he takes treatment, maybe it'll go into remission. I don't know. It's in the Lord's hands. But I want you to know, you get in the right kind of a storm and the things of this earth lose their value. I thought about, in this situation, what if somebody on the ship had something that was maybe a little heavy or whatever, some big heavy piece of furniture or something on there. I mean, they're, you know, mother's, aunt's, cousin's, brother, twice removed on. But it's valuable to them. But that storm's rocking that ship, man, it's a plumber in the ship, and they get scared, I'll tell you, they're throwing everything over. They say, listen, we're going down. If we don't lighten this ship, they say, throw it overboard. Things lose their value when you get in the storm just right. The fifth thing I see them doing is they're praying, making supplication before God, verse 21. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, so on and so forth. I'm not going to read all of it. I've already read it. Paul's apparently the only one that did this. But for a long time, I don't know why, but I thought that word was absence. I thought it was absence. But it's not absence. It's abstinence. Abstinence means to keep from or refrain from. You know what I think? I think Paul was praying and fasting. I really do. It doesn't say he was away from everybody. It doesn't say absence, but abstinence. He was keeping away from something. He was abstaining from something. I'm just guessing. But I can see where prayer and fasting definitely has an impact on storms. Matter of fact, I think I can show it to you in this text. God, look in verse number 10. God had already told Paul what was going to happen. He said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Now let me ask you a question. You know the end of the story. Did anybody die? I wonder why. He already said. Paul had already said that I perceive there's going to be not just the hurt and damage, but also of our lives. I don't know. But I just wonder. If Paul got away, began to pray and fast over this thing and saved the whole crew. I don't know. It's interesting. It's interesting. But whatever it was, I can tell you this, one of the best things you can do in the midst of the storm is get with God, pray. Get on your knees and call out to the God of heaven and miss a few meals. It's not going to hurt any of us. Miss a few meals, abstain from those things, push those things away and say, God, there's some things I need worse than my daily food. There's some things I need worse, if you will, than my physical nourishment. Lord, I need to hear from you. When he heard from God, he said, fear not, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. It's almost like God was praying that he would give them to him, and he did. But I want to show you something else. There's a lot in this text. Paul rescued those
that would listen to him from despair. Now don't miss what I'm telling you. Paul says, here's what the angel of God said to me, that everybody's going to be all right, and we're going to be cast on an island, but we're not going to have any loss of life. And he says, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. Now let me put it to you like this. Here's everybody standing around, and Paul said, listen, I've got with the Lord, and here's what God said. Everything's going to be all right. We're going to be cast on an island. He may have said we're going to have a shipwreck, but everybody's going to be all right. Now, if everybody would have listened to the man of God, they would have just had peace in their heart, wouldn't they? Don't matter how bad the storm is, God says it's going to be all right. He's the one that raises the stormy wind, so I guess he ought to know.
Amen.
But if you read over in just a couple more verses, you'll find some of those on the ship that seem to be panicking. They go up like they're going to throw the anchors out, but what are they doing? They're cutting that boat loose so they can get out of there. Paul said, you better not do that. You better stay with the ship. If they had just listened to what the man of God said, what God had said through the man of God, they wouldn't have been up there panicking trying to get out of the ship. They'd have stayed with that ship.
Right.
Pastors, how many in our congregation, if they had just listened to what God said through the man of God, wouldn't have to despair in the midst of their storm?
Right.
They could sit down right in the midst of the storm and not worry about it because they've heard from God. There's a lot in there, isn't there? I love this book. I love it. Listen, probably in the midst of storms that I've seen, probably more die because they panic and despair than because of the storm. How many of you seen kick out in the midst of the storm? You pastors been in a lot longer than I have. I guarantee you've seen more kick out in the storm than I have. And it wasn't the storm that hurt them. It was the fact they just wouldn't stay. They just wouldn't trust God. They just wouldn't lay hold of those promises I talked about Monday night. And they went to despair. To hear a word from God, to have His presence, is the greatest thing you could have during a storm.
Amen.
Now let me close with this. Why is it okay to just let her drive? I've already said this, but I'm going to emphasize it again. Because God is in control of the storm. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. He said all things. Even the storm, God sends, God allows, and it's working for our good. You know why we can take our hands off of it? You know why we can just let it take us wherever God wants it to? Because it's for our good. Let the storm blow your ship where He wants it to go. Your ship's not going to sink with Him in control. He knows every timber. He knows every nail. He knows every crack. He knows every crevice. It's going to be all right. The old ship of Zion has weathered the storm before.
Amen.
She's just going to keep sailing on.
Right.
Now turn back with me to Psalms, and I'm going to close out. I know you don't believe me, but I am. Psalm 107. Let's pick up again. We found God commands raises the stormy winds. Man, they mount up to the heaven. They plunge down to the depths. Verse 26. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Have you ever been there?
Yes, sir.
Have you ever been so tossed in a storm you just like a drunk man this way and that way? I mean up and down, and they come to their wit's end and your soul is melted within you. Have you ever been there?
Yes, sir.
If you haven't, you will be. You just hang around a while. Look what he says. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. I said we ought to pray. And and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh a storm a calm so that the waves thereof are still. Listen, sooner or later he's going to bring you out of those distresses. He makes the storm a calm, and he that can raise the stormy wind can also calm the stormy wind.
Amen.
Matthew 4:39, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. I don't know about you, but man, that stirs my heart.
Amen.
The same God that raises up that storm can also step out when it's time and say, peace be still, and calm the stormy
Amen.
Waters of your soul.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. This helps me, I tell you. If you only knew where I was, if you only knew what I was going through, and I just saw, hey, God's in this thing, God's controlling this, God's blowing this thing where He wants it to, and I just was able to take my hands off of it and lay my head down on my pillow and go to sleep and not worry about it.
Amen.
Glory to God. You know what happens then? You feel a great relief because it's over with. Look in verse 30. Then are they glad because they be quiet. Boy, here's a statement that I want you to get.
Amen.
So he bringeth them unto, I've got that word circled, their desired haven. Their desired haven. Now why is that so important? You know what I think? Sometimes God uses storms to take us where we want to be. You say, listen, if you're a child of God and you have a heart for God at all, I dare say you're not satisfied with yourself spiritually. I dare say you have not reached the place where you say, I have attained. There is a place you desire to be. Myself, I look at some of these men of God and I say to myself, I'd like to be like them one of these days. I look at these men, I told you at the beginning of the week, I look at Brother Joe Chapman and his sweetness, and he just honey seems like. And I think to myself, boy, I'd like to be like that. I'm not trying to be him, but you know what I'm getting at? Well, you know what? God brings storms into our life to take us and make us what we want to be. Take us to the place we want to go. Sometimes God uses storms to take us where we otherwise would be afraid to go or just won't go. Boy, I think about Jonah. God used a little storm in Jonah's life to take him where he wouldn't go. And God can take a storm and put you where He wants you, whether you like it or not. And you can buck and you can fight and you can kick and you can hold on to the wheel and you can struggle and you can try to fight that ship not knowing where you are or where you're going. It'll be out of your control. But I'll tell you, God will have His will. God used persecution in the early church to spread the gospel. Sometimes God uses storms to take us where we otherwise could not go. If I were to take you with me over to Union tonight, go right down 49 on Main Street, turn right there at the Monarch Mill, go down there about 3 blocks, I'd point over there and I'd say, right there's a brand new building. To God be the glory.
Amen.
We could not have done that had we not went through the storm. We could not have built a building like we've got had we not had to go through the fire. I'm not boasting. I'm not, God knows my heart tonight. I thank God for what He's done, but I'm just simply trying to get you to understand sometimes God has got great things in mind, but we can't see it. And God is taking us through these storms to take us to a place we couldn't get otherwise.
That's
We couldn't have got there otherwise. Paul made a statement in Romans 1, 9 through 10. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. I wonder how many of you caught what he said. Who was he writing to? What book did I say that come out of?
Romans.
Guess where Paul was headed in Acts 27? To Rome. And here's what he said. Making request if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Paul said, I'm praying that I get to come to you. But I guarantee you, Paul didn't know he'd be a prisoner when he came. I guarantee you Paul didn't know he was going to be on a ship and shipwrecked when on his way there to get him there. Paul said, I'm going to come. I want to come. Listen, you and I don't know what the future holds for us. We never know, but we do know who holds the future. God used this storm to blow Paul's ship to an island where folks needed to be healed and the gospel was no doubt declared. God used this storm to blow Paul toward Rome to see and to minister to his brethren there. And Philippians 4:22 says they were saints in Caesar's household as a result of it. Did you get that? I don't think some of them got it. Caesar had saints in his household. Because they let go and just let her drive. God raised the wind. He blew that ship right to the island where old, what's his name? Was it Publius' father, was it, I think? Sick. God knew what he was doing. So, what would it have done them all those days holding that ship, fighting, I mean struggling, wearing himself out? Best thing they could do, just let her drive.
Amen.
You know what I'm trying to say to you tonight? When I say what to do when the storm comes, when I say just let her drive, you know what I'm really just telling you? Not let her drive, let him drive.
Amen.
Just let him drive. That'd help me.
Amen.
Just let him drive. Trust God. Just relax. Here's what I tell folks oftentimes. I say, look, here's what I have to do sometimes. I just sit down and kick back and relax in the sovereignty of God.
Amen.
And rest right there.
Amen.
Rest in the sovereignty and the providential hand of God Almighty.
Amen.
Would you just let him drive tonight? Let's stand our feet. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed tonight, I'll ask our musicians to come. I left a lot of the story out. I could tell you how God let us buy two houses, let us move the parson. I mean, God, all through that. Now that I look back, I see that through that storm, the reason it took so much time was God was giving us time for property to come open so we could turn the church around and face the main road. There's just so many things I could tell you. But I want you to know tonight, when you're in the midst of the storm, there's some things you can do and you need to do. But one thing you can't do is control the storm. Don't fight it. Don't kick against it. Just let God have His way. Let her drive. Just let her drive. Won't you come tonight? Won't you come? Just let Him drive. Let Him drive. While these are around this altar, some still coming. Won't you come tonight? There's some of you right here going to worry yourself to death. You're going to fight, struggle, hold on until you're wore out and no good for God at all. When all you need to do is just sit down, let God take care of it. Won't you come tonight? You might just need to kneel in this altar and say, God, right now, I'm just going to let her drive. I'm going to trust you with the outcome. I'm going to trust you with the direction. While these are praying, won't you come? Oh God. Oh God, speak to her.